Blog Talk Radio.
One of the most difficult things to do is find yourself in a storm. While in that storm, it seems like everyone who you thought you could count on has walked away. Sometimes it seems like even God himself has forgotten about you. But in spite of that, you'll still be able to lift your hands and say, Lord, I trust you.
Hey, good evening, everyone. We're live. This is B&K Bible Break. We just want to say good evening to you all. First and foremost, giving honor to the Lord, the head of our life. We just want to thank him for blessing us to wake up to see another day, to waking us up in our right frame of mind, and giving him the glory on this day. Also, just want to just bless him, bless the show today. Hopefully, he'll give us the words to help someone in some situations, all situations. And just want to say thank you. Again, we're on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio.chaostalkwithDerekOliver. Or you can call on the phone lines at 845-277-9094. And again, we're going to have a great show for you today, me and Miss Kay. She'll be coming in live in about 4 minutes, 4 to 5 minutes. I just want to thank again you and everyone that support us on every Monday at 7 o'clock. We just want to say thank you again for your support, and hopefully we're being a blessing to you. Also, before I get started, I want to thank Chick-fil-A for sponsoring the Player of the Week from Central, Gwinnett Central football team. Every week they have 5 or 6 players that make Player of the Week, and we give them a gift card for a meal from Chick-fil-A. So they're helping us in the community, serving the community. We just want to thank them. Head football coach, Coach Harold, for allowing us to come in and talk to the team once a week. And it's been a blessing. And hopefully we continue to be a blessing in the community and continue to do what the Lord would have us to do. We're going to have a great show tonight. it's funny how the Lord works things out. And I'm just waiting on a few moments for my wife to kick in because she's going to get us started. But how this got started happened Saturday. And one of the ministers of our church, Minister Tober, had to speak Saturday. And I wasn't able to go to attend, but I was able to hear his message. And he came out of the 51st Book of Psalms. And I listened to the whole message, and I called him up that Saturday night. Told him how it was a great message. Then Sunday morning, our bishop yesterday did a message talking about David and Bathsheba, and he ended the sermon using the 51st Book of Psalms. And it was like, wow. And it seemed like, and this is just for me, it seemed like Saturday's message was just for Derek. It seemed like the message I heard yesterday from the bishop was just for me, and they kind of go hand in hand, and it's like, wow, that was amazing. And as we're getting ready to do our show, my wife, you know, we were talking about what do you want to talk about on today, and my wife liked the message yesterday and said, let's talk about the aftermath of Bathsheba. And after I heard the message yesterday, and where we're going to get it from today is it's a lot. I've learned a lot, and I'm learning a lot, and I'm anxious to get started with this word because there's just a lot of information in there that I never really realized that was in there. So tonight, our title is going to be The Aftermath, and I'm going to pray us in, and then when I pray us in, hopefully we will be able to hear my wife. So with that being said, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you. We just want to thank you for bringing us here. We just want you to be with us tonight. Father God, forgive us for anything that we may have done that's not like you. Father God, forgive us for the things that we've done and for the things that we have not done. So we just ask that you forgive us. Give the listeners the ear to hear the word, Father God. And Father God, not only to hear the word, but Father God, be doers of the word. And Father God, we ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sorry for the background noise that you hear, but we're just getting set up, and we have some things moving in my office, so forgive me for that. But again, we're going to talk about the aftermath of Bathsheba and David. And one of the things is I got the grandbaby talking to me right now. But one of the things I'm going to talk about is Bathsheba that I really never looked at and really never saw was Bathsheba and the way she was taken advantage of. And we focus so much on David, we don't look at her and how this affected her life. And it makes me want to realize how we in leaders of church or men take advantage of women with our position. And I'm anxious to see what people think, where I'm going with this, but it's very difficult because I heard it yesterday. A lot of it hit me with David, and I used to like to compare myself with David, but I will never longer compare myself with David because after you read all of this in 2 Samuel, it just wasn't good for David and the way he took advantage of this woman. And a lot of times in the church, and I'm just speaking for the church, men take advantage of women, period, because of the position, the title. It's just one of the things that we do. And it is not right, is not fair. And then we men always want to go to David and use that as an excuse of why we did what we did. And David was the apple of God's eye. I heard the pastor say yesterday, get out of jail free card. And it somewhat bothers me because I've done this myself. Not what David did, but I've taken advantage of situations because of the title. And I didn't have good intentions. And because of that, it just made me look at this story totally different now. I'm just going to be transparent. It just makes me look at everything a little bit differently. And I'm trying to bring my wife on. And for some reason, I'm having technical difficulties. Okay, here she go. Here she go. Are you there?
I am here. Good evening and happy Monday.
Whew. All right. Happy Monday to you too. I was just explaining a little bit about Bathsheba and how men in the church take advantage of women and use their titles to persuade them to do things that we know that's not right to do. But I'm going to let you, I've already prayed, I'm going to let you take it over from here to aftermath and go with your notes, and then I'll just fill back in and follow through.
All right. Pray for me, y'all. It's been a day. I'm surviving off a little bit over 3 hours of sleep since Sunday morning, so pray for me. But tonight, you know, I started thinking about, I don't know how where you went so far, but I started thinking about, like, what happens after the fact. You know, you turn on the news and you hear stories that happen, but you don't ever know what the follow-up is. Like, what happened? Like, what happened to that person or that baby or that family? You don't hear what happens after the fact. So I've been studying a little bit about Bathsheba with this story, because a lot of the times, you know, this is a familiar story to many people, and most of the time it comes from the point of David, King David. It comes from that point. But I wanted to see if we can go just a little, just a different route, in addition to David, just a different route. So, aftermath. And this is a story about Bathsheba, and you can find that in the second book of Samuel. So please go to second Samuel, and it's chapter 11. Read the whole chapter. Not only 11, but read 12 too. But read, we're going to be coming for a lot from chapter 11. Don't have like a specific verse. I'm just going to just go with the flow of letting the Lord do what he wants to do. But I was looking at, I looked at the word Bathsheba, and it says that her name means daughter of the oath. And I'm like, okay. So I'm like, well, what does that mean? And we all know that an oath is truth. So she's daughter of the truth. And later on, you'll learn that, you know, she becomes queen mother of Solomon. So she has her title, and rightfully so. But in the beginning, the start of her story, you know, here you have this married woman minding her own business, getting herself together after she came off of her menstruation, if I can say it that way. She's getting herself together. And here you got King David. He stayed at home. He should have been with his troops. He should have been at war with his troops. So to me, I'm like, maybe he was bored. He was restless. He couldn't sleep. And he out just looking, and he noticed Miss Bathsheba here. And his eyes lust after her. So he takes her and he lays with her, and she becomes pregnant. You can find that in 2 Samuel. That's starting, that goes up to the fourth verse, 11 and 4. And I don't know, me being a mom, I do know, like, after menstruations, you're fertile. So this was if I can just say it like that, it was a fertile time for her. So she ended up becoming pregnant. And by him just lusting after her, he decided that this was somebody that he wanted. And because he was the king, she had no rights. You know, the king wanted her, and that's all that it was. It was kind of like she was disposable. Because he got what he wanted from her, and he sent her away. Like, he used his position to get what he wanted. And I'm thinking, okay, she's not going to say no to the king, but I don't know what went on in that, because the Bible doesn't tell us what went on. We don't know if she if it was consensual, if she resisted, or if she begged him not to, you know, sleep with her or whatever. We don't know that part because it doesn't tell us. So by her becoming pregnant based off of this situation, a lot of people like to say they were in it together. Like, and I'm like, I don't know how the conclusion could be drawn that they were in it together. This man was powerful. Powerful. So to me, I'm like, okay, her husband is in the army. She's a military wife, so she's more than likely very used to following commands. So maybe she just felt that she had to do this, or she didn't even have a say-so. So he used his power, if I can say it like that, and he caused all of these issues, and then he wanted to start covering up his lies. you know, he called for her husband, thinking that he would go home and sleep with her. But her husband was a man of integrity. He was a loyal man. He wasn't going to leave his fellow soldiers like that. He didn't want to go home with his wife. He wanted to be with his troops. And he was trying to cover up what he did with her, cover up the sin that he committed with her. And a lot of times people try to cover up the sins that they commit. And like the pastor said yesterday, you know, the lie, you got to prop up a lie. You got to keep on saying stuff and saying stuff. You got to prop it up, but the truth stands alone. And because her husband was loyal, David's royal plan did not work. What he was trying to do did not work. And the way I look at it is that he used Bathsheba as an object of his lust. And he deprived her of her husband. And she suffered multiple life-changing traumas in that same year. So not only did she get pregnant by the king, to me, he took advantage of her, but some may say something otherwise, but he was powerful, so he took advantage of her. That's the way I'm looking at it. If I'm wrong, scholars, I'm sure y'all will let me know, but it just seems he took advantage of her because of his position. And not only did he take advantage of her, but she becomes pregnant. Now, her husband is nowhere around. So not only is she pregnant by this dude, it's like, okay, hold on, my man ain't even here. How am I going to explain this? It's not even, why am I going through this when I didn't ask for this? And I shouldn't have to go through this. But because of her position and his position, she had to go through what she had to go through. Now, she's also at the same time, if I could say it this way, because she was a military wife, there's separation from her spouse right there, so she's not even with her spouse all the time, so there's separation there. And then he has the nerve to go ahead and have her husband killed. So then she suffers the loss of her husband. Then all of this, she becomes his wife, his fourth wife, matter of fact. And she ended up having his son. You can see that in 2 Samuel 11, 26 through 27. So she suffers many injustices at the hand of this selfish king. And I know y'all love King David. I like King David too, but in this part right here, he was selfish, and this was wrong. And I know a lot of the times a lot of people feel alone. Like, you know, maybe you did something wrong, or maybe your heart is broken, or you feel that nobody cares. I'm sure that's how Bathsheba felt. Like, what do you do with, like, what was she supposed to do with all of this stuff that was taking place that it seems like she didn't have any control over because of his title? Do you want to add anything in before I go?
I do. When you say that it was consensual, you didn't know. I'm just, because it doesn't, and if someone would like to let me know, I would, because there's nothing that says that it was consensual or not consensual. But being a leader in the church, I stated this earlier, I don't know if you heard it, is I know a lot of men use their position and power to manipulate. Now, I think both of them was wrong for the act, but I blame King David because he knew better and he manipulated his position.
Tell me how she was wrong. Can you just tell me how she was wrong?
No, I'm just saying, no, because she slept with, first of all, we don't know. And like I say, I'm not going to say it was rape, but it doesn't say that he forced himself or anything like that. We know what he did. He called her, he sweet-talked her, and next thing you know, they slept. It doesn't say that she didn't resist it. There's nowhere that it says that. So what I'm saying is two wrongs don't make a right, but she did sleep with him. And there's nowhere you can
just
see where she did.
Just because somebody has sex with somebody does not mean that she willingly slept with them. I mean,
See, now, when you say that, that's, and I'm going to say I'm going to be rolling with what you say on this, but at the same time, it's like what you're saying is, okay, David was wrong. She didn't do nothing wrong. And I can't, you know, both of them was wrong, period. Now, if you want to go forward and...
How was she wrong? I just want to know how she was wrong.
For sleeping with the man. For sleeping with the man.
Yeah, okay, when you... But, okay. You know what? This is how I'm going to say that he was wrong. And this is how I'm going to say that I don't feel that she was in the wrong. And I'm going to stick to me saying she wasn't in the wrong. Because she didn't willingly... Well, I can't say she didn't willingly. This man had a position, and I'm sure that she wasn't out there like, oh, I'm going to go cheat on my husband. Like, man had power. This man had power. She couldn't turn down. She couldn't turn down the king, I'm sure. So I don't think that anything was willing for her to be saying that she was in the wrong.
Well, I mean, for the sake of time, because we got to be off at a certain time.
Well, we can still talk about it. Let's go there, because I want to know what you mean by that.
No, I'm just, like I said.
Can you turn your volume up a little bit, too?
Turn my volume up?
Yeah.
Hold on. Is like saying that you're, and the only reason I don't want to say both of them were wrong, because I don't want people to think that you have a license because someone that has power or someone that's a overseer comes up to you and sweet talks you, even though you didn't have the intent to go over there to do that, but it happened, and sometimes emotions get in the way.
Sweet talked her. Nowhere did it say he sweet talked her. It said
he said he called
her. Right,
yeah,
that
was
when he talked to her. He summoned her,
okay, well,
and she had to come because that's what she had to do. But that does not mean that he sweet talked her.
Okay, well, sweet talked her. I agree with you. He sent for her, told her to come to him, and whatever he said to her, we don't know this. We don't know if he ordered her to sleep with him or not. And if he ordered her, that's pretty much like rape. But in a sense. And, oh, okay, but it doesn't say that. So because it doesn't say that, we can come to the conclusion, okay, that's maybe what happened, or we can come to the conclusion it was central. I don't know. I don't have that answer. But what I'm saying is it was just wrong for both of them to sleep with one another. Now, this man went out there and did what
he... It was wrong for the king to take advantage of this
definitely.
Female. That's
definitely.
The bottom line. For them,
that, you're
for you to 100%
keep right.
Together,
I'm
not going to go there with you. I'm not going to say that it's a sleep together thing. So if there was no love there, this is all lust. This is him seeing her, wanting her, and getting her, and sending her on her merry way.
So let me ask you a question. I just want to throw a question out there. So for these pastors or bishops that get caught in these affairs, you don't blame the woman either?
I said, I'm talking about Bathsheba. I'm not talking about people... I'm talking about Bathsheba and the king. Now, if the president was to say, okay, nowadays, you know, they got the Me Too movement. They got a lot of things in place for the females. Back then, they didn't have no voice. You can't deny the king. There's no denying of the king. You're not nobody in comparison to him, especially a female.
You're right when it comes to denying the king. I'm not going to dispute that. I can't dispute that. But just for the sake of moving on, let's just go ahead and move on.
Okay, so the bottom line that I want to get out of that part of what I'm saying is, you know, sometimes people feel like they by themselves and that they're the only one that's going through a situation that nobody understands, that nobody cares, or there's nobody that could help them. Because you do get in situations where you can't open up to everybody and you feel like you are by yourself and you don't know how to get out of that situation. 2 Samuel 11:27 lets us know that God sees, God knows, and that Bathsheba matters. You can put your name there, that you matter. Put your name there. He sees, he knows. And 27 says, But the king, I'm sorry, but the thing, I'm sorry, thing, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. That tells me right there, he displeased the Lord. He didn't say what they did. He didn't say what him and Bathsheba did. He said what David did displeased the Lord. So that tells me right there, okay, David, you went over the line and you did what was not right in the eyes of God to Bathsheba. That's where I get that from, as far as them not being not by it not being consensual. Because at the end of the day, she was married, and he knew she was married, so he was wrong from jump, going after somebody else's woman. And because he had power, he can do that. You not agree?
I mean, I'm not going to disagree with what you're saying. And when you put it like that, yeah, the David was wrong. No one's saying David was right in anything that he did, period. I just wanted to clear it up.
But don't add her to it. Don't add her to it.
Well, see, now that
don't,
I'm not going
to
add her to
it
right
it.
Now, but we're going to come back at a later date and see. Let me do some more research on her before we move forward, because I don't want to say something, because I found out a lot of new things about this as well. And what you just read really hit home for me when you said the Lord, he didn't mention her name, he mentioned his name. And you know, I'm still studying that. Why didn't he say anything about her? So on a sense, I'm going to be like, okay, I'm seeing what you're saying. I'm not going to come to a conclusion and say I'm not going to bring this back up at a later time. I just want to make sure my facts. I don't want to say something ignorant. So right now, through the word and that scripture you just read, when it said that it was displeasing in the Lord's sight, it kind of made me look at this whole story a little differently. And I kind of said that earlier before you got on. You know, I never compare myself to David, because I really don't know the ins and outs of what happened right here. And I never really thought about it. But when I do think about it in today's, putting that in today's, myself using my position to manipulate certain situations, I have done that. I'm not proud of it, but I have done that. So for David to feel like he's the king and to call her to come to him, send for her, that might be, and I don't want to put something out there that's false, that might been, when I say it was consensual, that may not have been consensual. So, yeah, I do understand exactly what you're saying. Before yesterday, and I heard the sermon yesterday, I would have argued all day about this part right here with you. But now that I'm looking at the scripture, seeing it in black and white for myself, you know, I'm not ready so quick to go battle with you toe for toe. So, you know, I'm going to leave that alone for right now. But I just don't want to give a license for people to think that because someone of power come to you that they can manipulate you to do something that you know better not to do. That's all I'm saying is, as far as of today. Now, back then, you're right. There was no voice for women. And if the king summons you, and the more I think about it, the more I think that you might be right. And I can't believe I'm saying that about this. So from that, I want you to go on and I want you to get all your points out. I don't want to, because I'm not going to say that no different than what I just already said. So for right now, we're just going to assume you're right.
Oh, we're going to just assume? All right, well, what I want, it's important that we do everything decently and in order. So with that being said, a lot of the times we find ourselves in situations where this flesh does more and takes over, and we're not letting the Spirit lead us. And during this particular time, David's flesh was just running rampant. You can tell because, for one, he didn't even go with his troops, so he wasn't on to me, he wasn't doing following his rightful path at this time anyway. He was in his flesh, and he saw what he wanted. And she had to suffer all these consequences because of his selfish acts. He didn't think about, oh, what happens if this or what happens if that. He just figured, okay, I'm going to hit it and quit it and just keep it moving. But no, no, no. A lot of the times we think we're getting away with something. You may think you're getting away with something. She ended up pregnant. Dude, your sins is right in your face. You're not getting away with it. You can't hide from God. You can't cover it up. He tried to cover it up. He then put this lady's husband on the front line to get killed. Prior to that, he then got him drunk and fed him, thinking he's going to go home and sleep with his wife. It's like, dude, you are really reaching. And because he had power, he was able to succeed with having this woman's husband killed. And nothing good comes from pretending sin doesn't exist. Whether you're a victim or you're the victimizer, nothing good comes from pretending a sin doesn't exist. So he may have thought he was going to go on his merry way, but because she ended up pregnant, the sad thing is, if you continue to read the story, you'll see the outcome of David's sin. You'll see the outcome of the loss of their child. So not only did she, I'm just going to use my own words, get it taken advantage of by somebody in a high position, she ended up getting pregnant by this person. This person tried to cover up the sin that he committed against her. Then this person has her husband murdered. So it's all these things she's just suffering and suffering and suffering. It just seems like nobody ever talks about the suffering that she went through. Like, it was all about David and his sin that he committed. He hurt this woman. She was hurt. She was heartbroken and ashamed, I'm sure. If this, 'cause the way it went, if this would have got out and her husband would have found out she was pregnant by, I don't even think the king's name probably would have been mentioned, but pregnant by somebody, it'd have been more shame on top of shame. So I'm sure she was feeling shameful in this situation that she didn't ask for. That was not her doing. It was somebody else's doing. So a lot of the times, not just only in relationships, you can have situations where you didn't do anything, but you get the low end of the stick, if I could say it that way. You get the lowest, like, you, whether you grew up in a family, and it's like, okay, I didn't ask to be born in this family, but everybody treats me like I'm nobody. Everybody puts me down. It's like you didn't ask to be in certain situations, but God sees you. He's there. He promised never to leave you nor forsake you. Even though you may feel all of this pain, you may have all this trauma on the inside, God is there. He called Bathsheba daughter of the oath, daughter of the truth. She was the truth. So I don't see how, because of her name, daughter of the oath, how she could be in the wrong. She was being truthful about what she
okay,
was doing,
so,
cleaning
so
herself.
I hear you, and just for the be, you know what? Okay, I'm gonna go there.
Go there, because you're worried about
you
time.
Say, when
you
say,
worried about time
when
no
you
other
say,
time. Go ahead.
When you say no, but I'm listening to what you're saying, and yet I'm trying to come on board with what you're saying. I'm trying. But every time I'm listening to you talk and you're saying, you know, I see what the scriptures say about David and how the Lord was ashamed of him. But also somewhere in 2 it says that David was the apple of God's eye. So and what I'm saying is
that comes after repentance. He had to repent.
Okay, after repent. Well,
a lot of people ain't repenting. A lot of people out here doing what they're doing, thinking they're getting away
okay,
with it, covering it up here, covering it up there.
when I brought up other people a second ago about other past, you was talking about specifically, but this story. Now, of course, a lot of people do what they want to do, and they don't never repent. They don't have a conscience. But when you talk about this story, okay, David is still the apple of God's eye. And there was still a lot of hell David had to go through and had to face after this act. After this act, it wasn't all over with for David. And he tried to lie about it, cover it up. He tried to, you know, use his power, and it didn't work. It went all against him. And yeah, he ended up repenting and you know, fine and dandy, because at the end of the day, we've all come short of the glory of God, and we do have to go to him with a sincere heart of repentance. And I'm quite sure she, and I can't find it in the scripture right now, but I am going to be doing some homework. So someone just texted me, yeah, please do some research for me, and if you get something back,
hold on.
I ain't going to have time
to
get it today.
What was you about to say about she?
You know what I was about to say. And
no,
ain't covered
no,
up, but I'm just saying, consensual. The consensual part. And like I said, I'm still on the fence. I'm kind of feeling what you're saying because he was the king. He ordered her. I'm kind of feeling that he kind of ordered her to sleep with him, and she's only following orders. There's just a lot in there that I need clarity on before I can honestly say that she was a victim. Now, the way you're putting it, she was a victim. And I agree with you 100%.
Wow.
But before I can go on there and just be like, okay, Bathsheba was a victim of David and his lies and his power. Because that's, it seems like, and if I'm wrong, I'd be mad enough to be like, okay, I'm wrong. If the story should be about David, his lies, his deception, and his cover-up, and it seemed that's what we always preach on. And I believe the pastor said yesterday, get out of jail card free. So now that I heard it like that, I never thought about Bathsheba in the way that I'm thinking about her. And it got me thinking about her feeling as if she was raped. I mean, I feel you on that. I understand exactly where you're coming from. But before I can just sit there and be like, okay, boom, I just like to have a little bit more background. Because I know David's background real well. He did it. He lied. He cheated. He tried to cover it up. Period. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. That's what he did. And as men, we ought to look at that and look at his mistakes and see where it got him. Not only did it cause problems for him, it caused problems for her. And majority of the time, and I know I'm not going to get a lot of help on this, when men mess up, when men mess up, it ain't nobody's fault but our own. We can't blame nobody. He saw what he wanted. He thought he can get in and cover it up. And what happened to him, I don't wish on nobody, because he lost the son. And I don't think any father would want to lose their son over our sin. I don't think no man wants to do that. So on that level of it, I'm just hollering at the men, be careful and including myself, before you do something, because it could affect the people you love the most. And I'm just saying, if it, anything that I do would, and I cause my son to lose his life, there's no coming back from that. So we got to be careful. Father, you got to be careful how you father your kids. And not just, and I just don't want to use, people use cheating or lusting, however you treat, if you're abusing them mentally, physically, be careful with that. Be careful. And as far as the women are concerned, I don't have the time to go into a D&K boom, boom. I don't want to do that today anyway, for the simple reason I'm kind of thinking my wife, I'm kind of riding on her on this. And I'm looking for a reason not to, just so I can go into a chaotic moment, but I'm really having a hard time justifying what I think in my head that both of them was wrong. Just so I put that out there,
okay,
too.
Okay, so if I can, I'm just going to go a little bit further. So if you go into chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, to prove my point, God sends the prophet Nathan to David to tell him this dramatic story, right? So
right,
the story is
right,
about a
exactly.
poor man who has nothing in the world but one little lamb. And this lamb is precious to him. You can find it in 2 Samuel 12:3. And he brought it up and grew it up with him and with his children. It used to eat of his morsel and drink from his cup and lie in his bosom. And it was like a daughter to him. The story goes on to tell about a rich man who has many flocks and herds. When this rich man receives a visitor, however, instead of choosing one of his own animals to eat, he takes and kills the one little lamb that belonged to the poor man. So upon hearing this story, you know, King David, he got angry. And in 2 Samuel 12:5, he says, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. Guess what Nathan said? You are the man. I'm going to read 2 Samuel 12:7-9. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul, and I gave you your master's house and your master's wife into your bosom, and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if this were too little, I would add to you as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and have taken his wife to be your wife, and have slain him with the sword of the Ammonites. That tells me right there that this is not, like you, like I said in 2 Samuel 11:27, God was not pleased, and I cannot see that he's looked at like a precious lamb, his precious daughter. Like, come on, I cannot see this being consensual.
Okay, and there are some points in life where you drop the mic and you walk away. This is one of them points. This is a learning lesson where that story with Naaman, I read it and never looked at it like you just put it. And I'm going to do what my dad, when you just showed me something, so I'm going to shut up. You can dismiss us when you get good and ready, because now I'm, to be honest with you, until you read that story about Naaman, and I read that
Nathan.
Before. I read it, yes. I read it before, and when you was going over that, something was just telling me in my spirit, okay, you got it. So what I'm going to say is, you know, when it comes to Bathsheba and that situation, I kind of see where you're going with it. And like I said before you came on the air, men always have the tendency of manipulating situations. And David manipulated that situation. He manipulated it, and he had to pay he lost his son behind that. And if we're not careful as men, if we're not careful, we're going to lose our sons. And, you know, the Lord just put on my heart, and wife, you can close us out. Just don't forget about tomorrow's
Bible
study.
Okay, well, I'm not done. Hold on.
I'm finishing up, because you didn't shut me up. You didn't shut me up. So I'm done. And I just want to get this out there for the men to be careful. Because when you look at your life and you look at all these men, and I got to look in the mirror myself, we're losing our sons and our daughters because of our actions. Because of our actions. And I know they may be grown, but because of our actions and what we think and how we move. And until we become clean, and as my wife said, repent, you know, we're always going to have these troubles with our sons and our daughters. And I'm speaking to the leadership in the church. So, yeah, you...
And our men
you,
and our women.
Say that again?
It ain't only sons and daughters that got the issue.
No. I said for us to help our sons and our daughters. As men, we need to be careful and repent and look, because if we don't, we're going to lose our sons and our daughters. And that's why our sons and our daughters now are going through what they're going through, is because we keep sinning and we keep trying to cover it up and trying to hide.
The thing about
and
it,
then we wonder.
It's about integrity. It's about integrity. I'm going to say that. Because our sin nature gravitates towards selfishness and self-pleasure. It just gravitates towards that. So doing the right thing, regardless of circumstances, that's true righteousness. God calls us to holiness, not convenience. And if you want to go to Galatians 5, 16, and 21, that's where I got that from. He calls us to holiness, not convenience. It's important to guard your heart, even from your own sinful nature. And you can find that in 1 Samuel 13 and 14. We're sinful by nature. And our sinful nature wants to do evil. So it's important that we allow the Spirit to lead and guide us, to make good, sound choices. And the beautiful thing is God's love is everlasting. The Holy Spirit can help you overcome trauma, guilt, regret. But you got to repent. You got to tell the truth. Repent. Let it go. Turn from what you're doing and let the Lord do what he needs to do in your life. He already know what you're doing. You're not hiding it from him. You may hide it from me. You may hide it from Derek. You may hide it from your pastor, your wife, your husband, your children. You may be able to hide it, but God knows all, and he sees all. So just like God saw and knew Bathsheba in her hidden pain, he sees you as well. And he knows your pain, your suffering, even when hidden from the eyes of others, is recognized by God the Father. And it matters to him. You matter to him. Bathsheba mattered to him. So everything that you're going through, you matter. You matter. So don't take it lightly. Don't get stuck to where you feel like because everything is out of control that you don't have a voice. Don't feel that because everything is going left or things are not turning out the way you think they should, or you feel like you are a victim in a situation that you didn't do anything wrong in a situation. Trust God. No matter what the situation looks like, you got to trust God. Because, again, I'm going to say it again. I like what the pastor said yesterday. You got to prop a lie up, but the truth stands alone. So it's about integrity. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, and do what you're supposed to do. If you did something, get it right. Get it right, because life is not promised to any of us, and it could just go. You. When I tell you life is not promised, I know everybody knows that, but it only takes a split second for something to happen. A lot of times you don't even know how the Lord just saved you. Like, you don't even know. It's like you don't even know that you was on the brink of death or death was around the corner. His grace and mercy, he's full of grace and mercy, full of it. Please repent and turn from whatever you're doing and get it right before it's too late, because life is not promised. The next second is not promised. If I leave here in the next 20 seconds, 20 years, 10 minutes, best believe I love the Lord. I want everybody to know it. And I don't want my walk to be something contrary to what the Lord sees, because the Lord knows the real you. You can't hide from him. So your soul will be required. My soul will be required. It doesn't matter what people think about you, what they say about you, because at the end of the day, if it don't line up to what the Lord is saying about you, it don't matter. So let's get it together and let's get it right. David was able to repent and get it together, but he caused a lot of aftermath with Bathsheba. But Bathsheba's story didn't end right here. As I said, you know, you go on, I think it's in, I want to say 1 Kings. I can't remember the exact verse, but if you go on and you read about it, you know, she is the queen mother of Solomon. So she ends up having more children, and she ends up being in her rightful place to continue the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So let's keep that in mind. God knows your walk. God knows where you need to be. He knows everything that he has planned for you. Trust him. Even though it may hurt right now, trust him and trust the process that he has you going through, because in the end, you will win if you keep your mind and your eyes focused on what he has for you. That's all I'm going to say. Please go see 2 Samuel 11, 12. Read all of it. I mean, it's a beautiful story. And if you can find other things in here. We just pointed out a little bit on today, but you can find other things and see what the Lord is saying to you about this situation and how maybe you can help somebody else to let them know that they're not alone. They're not alone. You're not alone. I'm not alone. Even though I feel like I'm alone a lot of the times, in my deep down knowing, I know God got me and God got you. So that's the end of today's DNK Bible Break. Pray that you all meet us here tomorrow night. Bible study, TTC, 7 p.m., same phone number. We are doing, it's not the battle of the sexes. It's more like we're discussing Abraham and Sarah, and it's going to be the men versus the women. And we're going to just, you know, let the spirit flow and let the Lord have his way. And I pray that you all can join us on tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Anything else you want to add? Pray for my friend, the Morgan family. I know last week we prayed for the Morgan family in Ohio. This week I'm asking that you pray for the Morgan family right here in Lawrenceville. My dear friend lost her spouse, and just lift her up in prayer. She's an awesome, awesome woman of God. Her husband was an awesome, awesome man of God. Lift that family up in prayers, the Morgan family. And just keep them in your prayers. All right, I'm done. Father, thank you for allowing us to come together on tonight. I pray that something was said. Pick our hearts, Lord. Anything that we're doing that's not lining up with what you have for us and that you have for your kingdom, help us get it right before it's too late. Lord, we lean on you, we trust you, we honor you, for you are worthy of all the praise. There is nobody greater than you. There is no problem bigger than you. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you on tonight. We ask that you continue to just order our steps, touch our bereaved families, touch anyone that's sick at this time. Touch our minds, Lord. A lot of things start in our minds. Touch our minds, clean our hearts. Anything that's in us that should not be, we ask that you remove it. Give us a renewed and a right spirit in you. It is in your will that we honor you and we trust you and we thank you. Amen. Y'all have a rest of the week blessed. And that's it. Good night.